section of the 66th Sensimation International Film Festival, and to talk about the film, we have, as you can see, an important representation of the cast and crew. On the end, we've got Raúl Refri and Kiko Veneno, who are the authors of the music of the film, Alex Lafuente, producer and distributor, Israel Gomez, one of the actors of the film, and Izaki La Cuesta, the director, and Isabel Campo, and Isabel Campo and Fran Arujo, who are the co-screenplay writers. Please, first question. She was first, then you. Hi, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations, enthusiastic congratulations to all of the members of the cast and crew. I would like you to talk, on the one hand, the incorporation as the screenplay writers of Fran Araujo, who wasn't in The Legend of Time. And I would like Kiko Veneto and Raúl Refri talk about the soundtrack and the incorporation above all. I would like you to highlight the sound issues and the composition of the soundtrack. And then beautiful film, the work with the time, how you portray the characters, the portrayal of the landscape, which is that important. And it seems to me if film is a dialogue of art, the film undoubtedly offers us exactly that, a dialogue, and we find it with painting and compositions that talk related to Delacroix, Goya, and Zurbarán. And also it talks about relationship, because I found an echo of Jean Gouge's films, especially the paths, the bridges, and images of them playing in the water took me back to the African coast of Joe Negro and also that sort of films. Thank you very much. Okay, the first had to do with the script, the screenplay. Well, I can tell you that the film, as some of you know, well, it starts in 2004 when we started to shoot the film of, shoot the characters, Israel, the life of Israel, Isa and Tito, and to see how these two kids turned into adolescents, how their voices changed, how their bodies changed. So therefore, it's a kind of film where we address the dialogue between a script and a story that was written, and then what we found in front of us. These are films that have a certain amount of fiction because they're written in a very open way. So therefore, when addressing Entre Dos Aguas, Between Two Waters, we worked the same way. That is to say, when we did all the casting work, when we did all of the rehearsals, we weren't seeking a certain type of actor that adapts to the character. No, the script is written by the cast for an actor, but if somebody else offers us in a casting that's more interesting, well, you've got these two poor victims who are Fran and Isa, seeing all the casting, seeing all of the exteriors and locations, for example. So therefore, the process is a constant dialogue with Israel, with Chito, especially with both of them, and the other actors. So if you look at the credits, in the credits you see Araujo, Campo, La Cuesta, with the collaboration and the dialogues of all of the actors who end up putting into words the suggestions that come from the script. So therefore, that process, dialogue process, is constant throughout the entire shooting of the film, during the rehearsals, castings. They saw all of the, they looked everything, all of the, every week they would describe, well, the writing did, at any moment they said, well, that might even change it now, for example. It went all the way until we shot the film, so therefore I think it's very good and very beautiful. That's the first question. The second question was for Kiko and Raúl. Before they only say, I want to thank them for the beautiful work they've done. It's great that they've been able to work similar to us. As we've done, maintained a dialogue with the people and the place where we filmed it, it's very close. Well, they'll tell us, but I want to thank you very much for the work and the friendship. I can tell you that when Isaki said, asked me to participate in the film and collaborate, I said, it would be good if I went to the shoot of the film. It's an idea that I'd had for a long time of working simultaneously, making the music, composing the music, while they were, how the each scene was being developed and performed. So therefore, before, when I was, when Zaki was talking, I was thinking to a certain extent, in a certain way, the soundtrack, the part that I've composed, I found it basically because the inspiration was precisely being there during the shooting of the film. And the crew and cast, like Amanda, send me some recordings, for example, of a child in San Fernando who started to sing while they were shooting. It's called El Bolito. He came along with his uncle and he started to sing a Malagueña song. And they give me that recording. And then from there, and remembering what Gavin Briers did many years ago, he recorded a homeless person who sang a song in the street, repeating the phase that the homeless person, and a bit more symphonic than me, but it created a contemporary piece of work. So therefore, my intention was that to start voices that had been recorded out in the field, or for example, with Rocío Márquez, or those Niños de Elche, for example, that worked in the production of their records, vocal parts that were left out of those records. What I did there was record textures or guitars as of a voice that was recorded beforehand. So it's all the contrary what you normally do. First, you record a bass, and whoever sings based upon what's already recorded. But nevertheless, what I wanted to do was, as of the voice, create textures repeating in looping the voice, and to create a different piece of work for that, for what that song was, had originally been planned for. Anna Kiko's wife, it's another version, and we talked to Izaki to a certain extent. Kiko, he's illustrate the Shaito side and my compositions. I didn't know whether you're looking for this. We weren't. And the ones that I composed illustrated Israel's life, as I had no idea. No, I didn't have any. I had no idea at all. Izaki? Yes, it's good to work from a lack of knowledge. Well, basically, my career has been stemmed from, I've always confronted not knowing something. It's a very important part of me, so thank you very much for not letting me know. Sometimes, you know, sometimes makes it difficult. That is, maintaining the mystery and lack of knowledge can get you, makes it, yeah, like looking straight on, like, yes, please, no. That's it. Well, actually, it was a pleasure, obviously, to share and work in this film, that I've loved it. And even more, sharing the soundtrack with Kiko. No, we hadn't worked together. No, you and me. An image I will keep always is Kiko with Amanda Villavieja, who's out there, both of them with their microphones and headphones, getting under the bridges and recording stuff, and then to use that for the music. Yes, that for me was marvelous. I must say about the music, about the film, as you know, music is one of the most abstract things, arts there that exist, probably the most. But in the film, The Legend of Time, caused a big impact on me. We've seen it several times, and especially it's a film that, because it's so legendary, of Drishing, the Andalusia guitars and the way they sing in Andalusia, this is something that I love very much, and it's linked to my musical career. That film grew with me, like all great films stick with you. So therefore, once after several years, I met Gizaki. I met him in the carnivals in Cadiz. Yes, you discovered Salmorejo for me, and he said, would you like to continue? I thought it was marvelous to get into that story that I'd already lived in internally. So therefore, the interior part of our life is not manifested too much, and it's the most important part. And I'm very happy to be there. And for me, it's been developed through imagining things, imagination, imagining textures. I work in a very abstract way, as I was said. It's a territory that I very one. The light in San Fernando, for example, mythical, geographically, culturally, talking about Andalusian singing, and therefore, and also to get to know Chito and Isra, meet them. Well, I didn't need any more, and close my eyes and jump into the pool, and I hope things came out, and that's what I did. Everything that comes out, everything that I think is marvelous. Hmm. Yes, I'd like to say that Chito couldn't be with us today because he's on the ship, he's on a mission, and one of the things we shot, it was fiction, and now it turns out to be a reality. He went on a mission, he's on the ship now. I said, how do we tell him it's fiction? No, but it's for real. So therefore, we've got Isra, and we've got Rocio, Daniela, Erika, and Manuela, who you see it are born, but for example, they're with us, and the producers of the film, Paco, Alvaro, Jamal, and Alec, I can't see it, and practically all the crew of the film is here as well. Thank you, thousand thanks to all of you, because you know that the film is completely yours. There's a family spirit that is very creative, which is very important to make this film. A couple of issues. What else did you talk about? The issue of the relationship with other arts and Jean Rouge's cinema. Yes. Yeah, you've set up the whole press conference just with one question. You've addressed everything. Okay. What was the next one? What did you... First of all, how do you set up a dialogue with other painting, with other arts, works of art, and then the films by Jean Rouge? Well, of the other arts, Georges Chouel, for example, is a type of contemporary Da Vinci. And the truth is, we can say that it's a film that has a premise, that it's a film which is very realistic. That is to say, it's hyper-realistic fiction, we could call it. So therefore, I've done documentaries, and it's linked to things that happen. So therefore, I try to explain it, especially to give value to the team and the crew and Chito and Israel's work. I think they're powerful and very surprising actors. I'm extremely thankful to everything they've done. Thank you. And so therefore, it's a bit complicated to explain, even for us. It's a film, it's a fiction film, where what we're doing is we inspire... On the day-to-day life, there are many situations that are very close to what takes place in their real life. Like Chito, he is in the army, in the Marines, and there's fiction. Israel has never been in jail for drug trafficking or drug pushing at all. And his wife, as you can see, didn't abandon him, as you can see, because she's here with us. There are moments in which Israel starts to cry because his wife's abandoned him when he was in jail. Well, this is a performance, and that's what he portrays. It's great to see the making of, you see, and each scene, that kind of work is done. That type of fiction, which is very realistic. I'm sorry, we can't hear him. I can't hear him. I think he's touched the button. The first issue, Raul and Kiko, the first songs that they sent me sounded a bit like that. It was a weird proposal that they sent me. They sounded a bit like that. We were talking about punk flamenco at that time. That's what we're talking about. But I was just telling you, obviously, that type of fiction, what we were trying to do is for the forms didn't interpose themselves between the spectator and the characters, that is, especially with Israel and Chito. That's that type of empathy where you can't see all of the lighting work that Diego has done. So the lighting, we wanted to be sophisticated, but no one should believe it. He's not going to win an award for this film because he's been very generous. It looks as if there's no lighting done at all. And all the writing, Israel and Fran, for example, all the work I've seen, and it's divided, and that's the objective of the film at the end of the day. This is related to what you were saying about influences before. That is to say, I think that we're a generation that we've grown with so much cinema and so many films, there's a danger in the way we do things. So therefore, I remember when we filmed The Legend of Time, one of the objectives was to try and to be more pending of what happened in front of the camera than to record and film with Isra and Chito. We don't have to think about Rouge or our masters like Claire Denis, for example, contemporary and older people who make films. But it's assimilated. But when you're filming, the truth be said, we want forms that respond to what's in front of the camera, if you get what I'm saying. The same with the camera, sound, Amanda's work, and all the work in general. But it's a sound work which is quite realistic and expressionist at certain times. And that's the register we'll find it with Alejandro and De Castillo and Amanda during the shoot. Okay, precisely. Vis-a-vis influences that you may have had, I was reminded of Truffaut and Xuan Tuan Guanet. I'm not too sure this is your Antoine Bonnet, particular Antoine Bonnet. When we did The Legend of Time initially, it was a great motivation, a great inspiration to think about Truffaut and Léor. So therefore, the story, these are filmmakers that time went by, and this can be done through films. It's very important to when you tell them, they're very angled, but they're very natural at the same time. They didn't exist up until 4 days ago. They didn't exist. Anyone could see images of when you were a child because there weren't any photographs or films. We could see our images of our fathers or grandparents, of parents or grandparents as kids. We can do Israel who's young and Israel who's young. One scene, one take of Israel, older and younger and older and young, as we did in The Night That Doesn't End. So therefore, La Noche Que No Acaba, that's the essential. Cinema is essential to be able to film the passing of time. Truffaut explicitly says that one realizes that was already in John Ford, and John Ford films John Wayne getting old. And when you see the film, the 1920s, which is not well shot, not well filmed, and so on and so forth, there are people that have been dead for decades, but they're still walking in the film. So therefore, that beginning, because I think that The Legend of Time wasn't our first film. I think the team and the crew, we thought we were learning to make films. That was an experience for us, an initiation for us almost. I think that at that time, those types of reflections were very present back then, and we wanted to film that passing of time. So therefore, I was thinking, for example, Apple trilogy of the Indian director. He makes three films with the same character with different actors that portray the character at each different age. But that type of filming of a person vis-a-vis with relation to space and the kindness that you want to give your characters is interesting as a stimulation, and it also encourages to keep shooting films. And the idea, as I say, is to try to forget it and to be pending of Israel and Chito and the neighborhood of La Caseria. Yes? Hi. Above all, congratulations for your work. I had not seen the first film of yours, The Legend of Time, and I believed everything here. I believed even that you'd been in jail for real. I believe the story completely. So congratulations for your performance as an actor. And I've got a couple of questions. The first is, for you, Izaki, leaving the final so open, the ending so open, is there going to be a third film? And the others for Isra, what impacted was you jumping from that bridge, from that height. That caused an impact in me. I'd like to know how many times you repeated that jump and whether you got hurt or not. Because the truth is, I was highly impacted. It seemed that you were having a good time jumping off the bridge. You're asking about whether there's going to be continuity, another film. Well, that's quite schizophrenic. When we shot The Legend of Time, we thought that as a premise is that to continue shooting it all our life when we're old and we've lost our teeth. Israel will continue to be just as attractive, but we'll continue the story, see how far it takes us. Half a brain tells me that, but the other half brain says, no one's going to finance the films. Why are we going to hit our head against the wall if we can't make the film later? So therefore, we normally say that as if we don't get turned into assholes, we'll do more things together. These are films, nevertheless, that wear us all out. That's the whole team. Emotionally, we were all taxed, and because it's very tiring to make these kinds of films. Like we did, like a fiction film, like for example, Close to the Skin, the next skin, for example. I could shoot a film, a fiction film. It's like a bit of an up and down ride, but these films, for example, you can make them at least, people make them quite often. I'm not capable of making a film like this, and TVs don't collaborate. Says, no, take it easy. They never collaborate. No, take some time to make a film. No, so that from that aspect, everything fits in perfectly. And no one's asked, I was thinking before I forget, I think that the film is quite a curious thing. It's a fiction film that opens up with a sequence. It is a real pure, which is the birth of Manuela, who's here with us today. So therefore, there was a moment that we didn't have the financing covered, and we thought that that was a thing that would never occur again. We didn't know whether Rocio was going to have 20 kids or what was going to happen there. So therefore, and that's that was marvelous. What we went with their film camera with the whole team waiting for Manuela to be born, and Manuela didn't get born. She was waiting and waiting and waiting. We spent a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks waiting for her to get born, and waiting in Cardiff is great. It's a great place to wait 3 weeks for someone to get born. So therefore, there's a sequence where we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know whether it was going to be a boy or a girl, and we trusted that. It's unforeseen. It's very well written, the film, but there are many holes for something to happen. And there was something that happened but that we didn't expect, which was the birth and the moment of the tattoo. In the script, the tattoo moment is a real moment. Isra, I was always talked about that he wanted to make that tattoo. And the script, as happens in the film, the tattoo makes it a much more optimistic and jovial type of a tattoo to look towards the future. And Isra decided that that was the end of the film. That was, which marks the tone of the film, and it was a decision of tattooing the story of his father. And I don't know whether I've answered or I've just gone off. Isra. Well, that was... we recorded and we had to jump from the road, and I proposed to Izaki that I would jump off the edge of the bridge. He said, no, you're going to kill yourself. No, don't worry. No, you're going to kill yourself. No, don't. Let me go. And without expecting it, all of a sudden, they were preparing the camera and this, that, and the other, I ran, and when I'm up there, I'll jump down. And at least they can see that no problem. Nothing's going to happen to me. There's no danger. And they said, What happened? He's jumped. And I ran up and I jumped. And he said, hey, dude, what are you doing? You're going to jump. What's going on? Let's do it again. I get up there again. He got wet. He got drenched. The clothes, everything he got. Okay, Conchita, a couple of things, Izaki. I was thinking now about... Craven versus Craven, your first feature film. And this film, you still feel like interacting and playing with the spectators, mixing fiction and reality. And the second question is the look of a Catalan's perspective of Andalusia. I'm curious to know whether that distance, if it exists, a certain distance, not being Andalusian, can make the proposal much more fascinating. Yes. I realize that the first films that I've made so far are films that are almost playful from a formal standpoint. So therefore, it has a relationship. I like to try things, different things. It has to do with my personality. When you try new things, there's an intensity and a better greater pleasure. And I hope that that's conveyed in the film. And there are films where I tried to learn as much as I could. So that for every film, I could try five genres better than one, because I might not make another film. So let's get five into one film. So, but now doing this film, Between Two Waters, those formal plays, it's not a barrier that, I don't want a barrier between the characters and the spectators. There's an interposition. I don't want that interposition to take place. We talked with Fran and Isa, who are the voice of my conscience, so to speak, and they were right. They say it's something Diego insisted upon. Don't get bored of yourself. Try to. The intention of Between Two Waters is to work with less ingredients, to a simpler language, less heterodox from a certain point, and to have a formal transparency so that the forms allows you to see Israel Chito without seeing the author and the people who wrote the script. And also vis-a-vis the vision of a Catalan on Andalusia, I'm very interested in making films of the things that I know, but I'm also interested in making films of the things and places that I didn't know. So therefore, I think at the end of the day, in the type of society we live in, we're very stuck and predetermined to coexist with people that are similar to us, who dress like us, and who listen the same music as us, that politically think like us. So the algorithms on the internet promote that by 1,000 times, and it's more difficult to find people who are outside your place, your social class. And cinema, by nature, promotes that as spectators. That's as spectators, you go and see a film in a certain space that takes place in Cuenca or in Peru or in Australia with very different people. And cinema, literature, and art in general allows you to put heads on people that are not like you. So therefore, when we did The Legend of Time, I'm getting mixed up. I went on holidays. We're not with Issa or Israel. It's a moment of confusion. I don't know who's my partner and who isn't. I'm getting a bit lost here. I love everyone the same. I'll say with Israel, switch the microphone off in San Fernando. No. Okay. Thank you. So we got to San Fernando, the first film of a Japanese film that wants to go to San Fernando to sing like Camarón. It was just like us. When we did the casting for The Legend of Time, we saw 400 kids. Israel was the first, and I remember it was difficult for me to understand. I didn't understand his accent. So all of that trip or journey, we did The Legend of Time because we wanted to live in that place, and cinema allows us to, as spectators, but also as filmmakers, to live in these places. We talk a lot about the actors that can get under many skins and into many people's minds as technicians and crew and cast. The same thing happens in cinema. That is to say, we were able to live for a long time in Peru, living with the people in Peru, with a mixed Spanish, Argentinian, and Peruvian crew. And so therefore, we get to know Swiss entrepreneurs who are producers. And we were able to live with Isra and Chito over this year. We weren't predestined. If it weren't for cinema, we wouldn't have met each other. And I think that's spectacular because it happens with the spectators as well, the audience. And in this sense, Kiko was born in Figueres, the vision of a Catalan in Andalusia. Well, yeah. I would say about this that precisely the work of art and culture in general, understanding as such, is that all of a sudden the qualifications of where you come from disappear, whether you're Chinese or black or whatever. They're artists. These are people who travel this way, that way, and the other. They talk and they look and they interact, they do things. So therefore the barriers, geographically, political, idiomatic, and racial, disappear. That's one of the great contributions of art. What does it contribute to the economy, for example? Before I forget, and talking about when we made The Legend of Time, Paco Poc and Alvaro Alonso, who produced The Legend of Time, and the co-producers of also of Between Two Waters. So it's the journey of this entire family over these 12 years. So therefore, any further questions? Yes, I have a question. I would like to know who gives the titles. What's the titles? Well, the title of The Legend of Time, of these two boys, you were to blame. It always drew my attention. Why was it called specifically The Legend of Time? The Legend of Time, the origin of the film, as I tell you, was a journey where we go to San Fernando. And we go to San Fernando, and not Chiclana, why? But Camarón was from San Fernando. So it was that moment where we got there, we were fascinated by Camarón, the La Isla, and the record, which is The Legend of Time, in which Kiko composed several of the most important songs. And he was very generous, and he gave it to us for the film, those songs. And the film was about the passing of time. So the film about the passing of time that stemmed from people who wanted to be like Camarón, We wanted to call it The Legend of Time, just like a song, as understood as something physical almost. And I like that The Legend of Time, for example, you took from Lorca. Lorca took it from Victor Hugo, who had made The Legend of the Centuries. So it's a title that goes from one hand to the other that doesn't belong to everyone, but it belongs to anyone, but to everyone at the same. That's like music. You take things from one here and the other. I like that idea very much. And then it was a chaos because the people thought, it was a film about Camarón, about the record. It's still a chaos that we've dragged along even to today. People don't understand. Paco was going, yes, Paco as a producer has suffered a lot. So therefore, there was a moment when we were preparing the next film that Diego Jusual, the DOP, called me up and he said, he was talking about the death of Paco de Lucía that affected us a lot because we adored him and we still adore him. I said, the film, I remember we were in a train station. The film has got to be called Entre Dos Aguas, Between Two Waters. The Chaos, people are going to believe it's a song. It's the record and his song. But it was such a beautiful title because of two waters of the two brothers, the one that's in the Marines Corps and the other one's on the outside the law. And then it's the Mediterranean and the Atlantic between two continents. There was an Italian critic, Daniele Guattarini, who wrote about there was just like swim between two waters because reality, fiction, what we dream, what you find in life. And it was imposing, slowly but surely, the title. And it's beautiful. It's called Like a Song. And it's a tribute to another type of music that we like very much and that has constructed us really as people, that have made us who we are. And at the end of the day, it's a very beautiful. This is music that's been made. And all of a sudden, Kiko's here. No, the question was a bit interesting, but I didn't want to go that far. Thanks for the answer. Time for another question, if anyone wants to ask a question. If not, Fran and Isar and Alec, right at the end, I don't know whether you want to add anything because you're very quiet. And to finish, you want to add something. Isar, in the film, she did everything. She said she didn't want to be there. It was going to be a real pain to be there, but Isar's a screenplay writer, producer. She did a bit of everything. And the last day, my colleague in, we've seen a making of, asked Isra to explain, to present each person in the crew. And Isra said, the best person in the costume design I've ever had, Isa. Yeah, my talent's a bit diffuse. She's, you know, producer, script, everything. And what you were saying about the Catalans in Andalusia, of course, in this second film, albeit the first film, we did have that vision. The second film, we have wanted Isra and Chito. Since we've known their family since they were 12, we know their daughter since they were born. We love each other. We know them even before Rocio. So, okay, yes, that's true. I remember when you appeared in his life. So, therefore, we knew them very well. And to working in a family like the rest of the crew, Amanda and Diego had been in the first film as well, was to create something together in a family situation. Periodically, we see each other at maximum every year or 2 years. We imagine the film that we're going to make in the future. Why don't you imagine the film with this, that, and the other, with a gun or whatever? That like Rouge, for example, was thinking about the characters that he wanted to make. So therefore, from the raw material that appeared from him and his friends, we constructed the story that we wanted to tell over the years. I remember when we did The Condemned, which is the armed struggle in Argentina. We spent it in the Human Rights Film Festival in Buenos Aires. He switched the microphone off again. El toca. He's touching the microphone. I can't hear him. Yes, of course, it was a film. I remember the audience. There were many ex-guerrillas, some highly identified with the film, some very offended, and they asked me, how are you, you're from another generation, from another country, you got involved in an issue like this? And we were the Argentinian, Daniel Favel, for example, specifically said, no, this film has been made together, Argentinians, Peruvians, Spaniards. And he responded very well. It was a marvelous moment. I never processed that we worked that way. And yes, we do work like that, I think. And then before you leave, I want to hear talk about our marvelous actor, Israel. If it was a normal country, in a normal country, he would be making films nonstop. When we did The Legend of Time, we met him and said, let's work as if it was the first and last film that you're going to make. I talked about Jesus Carruthers, who did Seven Virgins, and he won the Goya, and then it took him many years to get another important part. But in a normal country, Israel would be making films nonstop. And let's hope that will happen. Okay. Well, okay, I just would like to thank you very much for being here and to wish you the best of luck to the film.